Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. My good friend here, Pastor Rob, he is a graduate of Lee University, which is a Bible school for those that don't know. He's finished 12 Ironmen in 4 different countries. He's rode the Atlantic Ocean. He is possibly the greatest...
Relax, that's not true.
Possibly the greatest endurance athlete in the U.S. in the last 100 years. So he's a man of many abilities. Smuggled Bibles into communist countries, built an amazing church in one of the most sinful cities in the United States.
Right.
And he's been speaking, he's been coaching, he's been encouraging people for over 40 years, and we're so happy to have him with us today.
Nice to be here. Let me ask you this. How many have heard me visit and speak here before? Let me see your hands. Good. How many of you are visitors you've never been here and I've never seen you, you've never heard me speak before? Well, good. Okay, welcome to.
And some people might be new enough that they weren't here last time.
Yeah, if you're visitors, welcome. We welcome you.
We've been talking about this concept in the last few weeks, about going into all the world and telling the good news, basically telling the Jesus story to others. And it's really a command that Jesus gave us, and so it's not a suggestion, and so we're trying to wrap our heads around what that looks like for us as Christians. How do we stretch ourselves, and even when it's uncomfortable, to fulfill some of the requirements, and this is one of those requirements that's sometimes uncomfortable to fulfill, to reach out and to talk about faith in a culture that's oftentimes adversarial to that. It's taboo to talk about Jesus. But so how do we deal with that discomfort of talking about our faith with others?
You know, I think that all of us, you know, we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to say stuff that's out of line. And we want to get along with people. And we don't want to be seen as weird, religious, you know. And so a thought that I have is from Scripture, when Scripture says, I only do what I see the Father doing.
I love that. I love that.
So what Jesus is saying is, I don't do anything that I don't sense that the Holy Spirit is already doing, because it's not going to do me any good to do it if he's not setting it up. So one of the things that we learn in business and in the church is emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence is learning how to read situations, people, personalities, timing. And so over the years, for me, I've had to learn how to ponder and learn how to discern who I'm talking to and where they're coming from and try to give the right nugget for that person at that time versus overwhelming them with my zeal to tell them about Jesus. And I find that when I slow down to learn to read people, I was a business consultant also for 40 years. I've consulted in 30 nations, Buddhist nations, Muslim nations, rigid nations. I've been able to go, what do I do here? And what do I say to this group? Or a religious nation. Religious country where everything is religious, but they don't really know what they're doing. They're just—it's classic religion of the culture, but right. The people aren't engaged. It's just, are you Catholic? Yeah, I live in Italy. When was the last time you were in church? I don't know. I never, whatever. So, if we can learn to listen and to observe and say, Lord, what am I looking at, and what am I should I say or not say at all? Maybe do an act of kindness in front of them that freaks them out. Like, why'd you do that? You ever done that? You ever done... I have a thing where I try to do something every day that makes people go, why did he do that? So when they walk by the piece of paper on the floor, I bend down and pick it up.
Right.
A, it's nice to pick it up, but B, it rocks their world because they didn't do it. They could care less why I do it. Yeah. And I got their attention because I did an act of kindness. Showed kindness. So I have to pray Lord, what should I do in every situation? And what's the right thing at this time for this person?
I think that's such an important component for sharing our faith, is knowing just there's different seasons and different moments. It's not always the moment to do the same thing. Sometimes it's a moment for an act of kindness. Sometimes it's just a moment to step back and pray. And so knowing how to enter into those moments, using discernment, using discretion, saying, God, are you working on this? Or is the Father doing something that I can step into? So I love that thought process, and I think we have to look at it like that, not just like I'm going and just talking without thinking, but I'm gonna prayerfully step into this conversation and mm-hmm. see what needs to be said, mm-hmm. what I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to say.
That's one of the answers we have.
Yeah, yeah.
There's other times when you're supposed to be bold and courageous and step in and live by faith and hope for the best, you know. But you just got to learn to walk with the Lord and figure out what you're supposed to do.
Right. I like this when we were talking a little earlier about the heartbeat of God.
Mm-hmm.
Before you came in, we had a lot of great conversations on the phone. But in John 5:39-43, Jesus said, "You study the Scriptures diligently, but you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you, and I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts."
Wow.
That's a strong statement. "I've come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept him." So there's a lot there to unpack, but Jesus was basically, a lot of times we think of these, oh, Jesus is rebuking just the Pharisees, but I think if we take a step back, sometimes it's when we've been in the faith or we've been in religious environments and we're just not seeing what we need to see and we just kind of got a little bit dull. What do you see in the Scripture that we need to hear today?
It comes down to the two main points for me is you think that by being in church all the time, you think by studying the Scriptures, you're going to get it.
Right.
And Jesus says, you don't get it. And I said to the guys, just because you live in a garage doesn't make you a car.
Correct.
And just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian.
Exactly.
Some people are just religious.
Yep.
So he says, you think that if you study the Scriptures, you're going to get it. Probably not. You may. Hopefully you get more. But if you're going to get it, it's wrapped around the issue of love.
Exactly.
And if your love is dialed down, then no matter how much you study the Scriptures, you're not going to get it.
No.
And you'll know that you're my disciples by your love. That love unlocks the revelation.
And so for us, okay, I've been in church a long time and I studied the Scriptures. I got a degree in theology with the theology school stuff. I don't give a rip. Show me your love. Show me the fruit of all those years reading and marking your Bible and going to conferences. Show me where that love has supernaturally changed your life. And then don't tell me about 20 years ago. Don't tell me I went on a mission trip or I did this or that. Tell me about this week. And I have to say that because I'm 52 years in Jesus. So I can tell you about my 20s, 30s. Well, I was hot in my 40s. Yeah, I did all the stuff in my 50s.
Right.
And 60s was not bad. What are you doing in your 70s? I'm retired. No, you are.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I'm on your case, the Holy Spirit says, like I was on your 20s. How much love after 50 years do you got? And you ought to have a lot more going for you now, 50 years into it, than when you first got going. But I find out that the longer people are in church, the less loving they become.
That's sad. Really sad.
Because they just get status quo. They lose their non-Christian friends. They have a community of Christians, and it becomes a club, and we do this thing, and then we put money in the bucket, and then we send money to missions. We do this. Like, we have a few outreaches and stuff, but by and large, this world's going to hell, driving by here every day.
Yep.
And more, well, that's just North Miami. That's just South Miami. That's, and we, if we don't have the Holy Spirit come and do the song, bring your move.
We need a move.
I need a move every day. I need a move every week. I haven't had a move in a month and a half. I don't give a rip anymore. I'm tired. Hello? And I have all the scriptures inside of me, but they're worth nothing because I don't have the love going. But I go to church. People think I'm good. But if you were to zip me up, or zip me down, look in, I don't really care that much about that, and I don't really care that much about that. Let somebody else do it. Any of you got that inside of you? Quiet. Anybody else got that inside of you? I mean, what have I done lately? What have I done that made me uncomfortable to be loving to somebody I don't really want to love, but Jesus really wants to love them? And he wants to use me. And I don't really want, I'm busy. We'll talk to God about it. And he's on my case. I don't know about you, but he's on my case a lot. Because he says, hey, love boy. You know, hey, pastor. You know, how's that love thing working for you? Oh, I got all these people. I don't care about, how's your heart? And I tell Bishop, my friend Dwayne, I say, I get checked every day when I drive by homeless people.
There we go. Yes.
Every single day, I think, should I give them the money? And every day I have to wrestle, Lord. And he goes, what are you going to do? And every day, do I want to step out, roll down the window, get out of my car, go do this? I mean, all the people on my streets in wheelchairs, sleeping at the bus stops.
Yeah.
You know, I got a coffee place, and there's a lady that every day lays on the bus stop all night long. That's where she sleeps, in front of the Starbucks. The Starbucks people go in and out, in and out. She just lays there, and she's 60.
Yeah.
Come to find out, she likes it there. Her kids have tried to help her. She doesn't want to come home. She has mental issues.
Yeah.
And she's become adopted by the Starbucks people as the lady who likes to live on the bus stop with her wheelchair, and she doesn't want help from anybody. But you wouldn't know that unless you got involved. Anybody taking care of her? Anybody helping her?
Right.
Does she get a shower anywhere? Or what's she doing, you know? But you got to ask, and you got to get involved to find out. And the Lord says, do you want to get involved? And I say, sometimes. Sometimes that's just... But every day, he pricks my heart.
Yes, he does.
Or I see kids at low-income schools, and I think, this isn't right. Our church, we have a real social justice thing we did, and so I went to the superintendent of schools and said, what's the lowest low-income school you got? He said, that one. So I went over to the principal and said, would you like some help? And she was an atheist. She said, I don't want any help from you. I don't do church. I don't want religious people in my place. She got the lowest, lowest income, multiracial low income. So I said, would you like some help without us being around? Can we give you some money? Because money usually opens them up a little bit. Strategy. You don't like me? You like my money. She said, well, I don't have any balls and bats for our after-school program. We need a locker to keep them in. We'll buy it. So we went out, tell us what you want. We went out and bought all the stuff. And so... thank you very much. I said, no problem. Anything else? She said, we don't have a lot of notebooks. We don't have a lot of this and a lot of that. And I'm doing missions in America with a lady who doesn't want me in her house. And she's protecting all these low-income kids from people like me.
Right.
Because I'm a pastor. worse on TV. God, he must be really one of them. On Fox. And so I said, how about we adopt all your rules? And I told the church, there's a school that doesn't want us but needs us. And these kids need help, but she doesn't like us. And I'd like to break her heart with our kindness. And we're going to wear her down till she gives. And so we went and adopted every classroom and said to each of those teachers, what do you need in your classroom? And we bought all the supplies and did the stuff. And that was our mission thing 3 blocks away from that campus that we had. She said, why'd you do that? Because we love those kids. They ought to have everything that the suburban kids have. So, at Thanksgiving time, said, you want some help? And she said, what do you want to do? I said, well, school play. You know, we'll do some turkey deals, you know, put some hats on her head and jump around for all the kids, you know, and stuff. She said, yeah, why don't you come over? So we did the turkey thing, you know, and gobble, gobble, and gave out candy and this and that, you know. Got all the Sunday school teachers mobilized, mothers and stuff. This is our project. Kids had a great time, you know. And you never heard this story, have you?
No.
I did missions in my city. We're not Christians, we're missionaries. You don't have to go over there. You don't, you're not a church person here and a missionary out there. We're a missionary here. We're a missionary there. We're a missionary wherever we go.
That's right.
There's missions everywhere. And so she said, you want to do Christmas? I said, I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble. What do you, is he, you know, you want 3 wise guys, you know, walking in, you know. And she said, yeah, just do the 3 wise men, you know. I said, you want Jesus in a manger, at least leave Jesus out of it. Jesus could be in the thing in the straw. I said, great. So we go do, for 1st through 6th grade, we do this Christmas play. And the kids love, we give away candy and all that stuff, you know. And she said, thanks, that wasn't too bad. We don't want to hammer you with Jesus, you know. We just want to love your kids. It's everybody else doing it. Your school ought to have something. So then guess what? Easter. So then she goes, can you do Easter for me? And I went, do you want him risen from the dead? Do you want him dead? Do you want him... You want him on the cross? Do you want a bad Friday? You want a good Friday? What do you want? I mean, how do I get in trouble? You don't like me. I'm right-wing conservative, you think. I'm one of those lost-my-brain people that don't understand you. What do you want me to do? She said, just make it a dialed-down, it's kind of an Easter thing, you know. We're not here to convert the kids, but it's a nice social cultural event. Got it. Told everybody, we got to dial down Jesus. We're going to do what we got to do. So we go in there and we do Easter. And she says, thank you. I said, no problem. Let us know what you want. And we adopted the whole school for everything.
Amen.
And she went to the superintendent of schools and said, I can't believe this church. And he knew she was a hard thing. I can't believe this church is so kind. Helps us, doesn't ask anything, gives. And we had access for the next 10 years. But it was the love. It wasn't the religiousness. It wasn't us getting scalps. It wasn't us taking her on. It was meeting her where she was at.
Yes, sir.
And then she began to talk to me. You know, like, I'm divorced twice, and I want to say I can see why. Right, you know, blah, this, blah, you know, and she just became my friend. And so there's opportunities everywhere. And missions is right in those cars driving by. And if we don't have the love of God in our hearts, we don't give a rip. It's always been that way. Jesus looking over, it's always been that way. We've always had broke schools, Jesus says, looking at Jerusalem. You know, it's like, it's just Jerusalem.
This scripture that we talked about from Luke 19, 41 to 44, he comes close, Jesus, he comes closer to Jerusalem, and he saw the city ahead, and he begins to weep.
Wow.
How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way peace. But now it's too late. The peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in from every side. He's talking prophetically about what's going to happen historically. They'll crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because, this is why, because you didn't recognize when God visited you.
Wow, right.
What really resonates is that Jesus comes close to Jerusalem and his heart is breaking for these people. He's like, I want to help you. I want to save you. But they don't recognize him. They don't recognize this opportunity. In this passage, Jesus' heart is breaking. But it also kind of implies that those that are following him, even his 12, don't get it. Their hearts aren't breaking. They're just trying to take in what he's saying. So what can we learn from this moment? How can we get our hearts ready for what God wants to do with us and through us?
The men, we talked about a scripture. Three of them, actually. Jesus says to the people, why are you so dull? Why are you so dull? You don't get it. You see it, you hear it, you don't get it. And there are many of you, as me, that there are times when we're just dull. We're busy, we're tired, we're stressed. You can look at the scriptures. They're nice. They just don't leap off the page at you. And you're dull. And the way to say, Lord, am I dull? Am I religious now? Is to say, I need to repent for what I don't even know I need to repent for.
Yeah.
There's the stuff that I understand. There's the stuff that I don't even understand. I just need to repent for being me. I was raised that every morning I was supposed to get up and repent when I woke up for being me. If you haven't blown it yet today, you will. So just repent now for being you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, you guys?
Yes, sir.
Sometime today, you're going to cop an attitude. You're going to judge somebody.
Yeah.
You're going to lust a woman. You're going to be proud and arrogant. You're going to leak something before the day is over that's wrong. And instead of being surprised by it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or at 9:30, why don't you say, Lord, it's me again. I know I'm going to mess up today, so I just want to start now by repenting for being me. And I want to be more like you today. And in humility, I'll find life. Because I got saved with a bunch of boys, a lot of 20-year-old athletes and stuff. We were all full of ourselves. Right? We thought we were hot. And the pastor was an athlete, pro athlete, who got saved. And he said, you guys just need to repent for being you. You think you're neat. Think you're hot. Think you're handsome. Get over it. There's more of you and less. We need more Jesus and less of you.
Amen.
And so why don't you just get on your knees in the morning and start repenting instead of being surprised you need to repent later on in the day. It's me again. And if you'll walk in humility and you're needy, I'll show up.
Yes, sir.
I think we see that over and over. In Scripture, the concept of crucifying the flesh, right? Jesus said, pick up your cross and and follow me. You know, Paul talks about crucifying the flesh. You've done a lot physically as an endurance athlete to reach goals, kind of in a physical or natural way, crucifying the flesh, right? But spiritually, we have to do that same thing. We have to practice. We have to work at our spiritual walk. Paul said, I work at myself every day like an athlete.
Right.
So that even I buffet my body. So that even after I've preached to all these other people, that I don't lose it.
That's right.
That I don't get dull. So talk to us about what crucifying the flesh looks like.
I think it's different for all of us.
Right.
I mean, some of you are sweet and nice, and some have big egos. Some like that ego is going to make you money, and that's going to make you a jerk too. I wrote an article for a security magazine. Did you know your boss is a jerk? 12 characteristics of bosses that are jerks for a national publication. And I got all these comments like, because a lot of people don't know they're jerks. They think they're cool. They think they're neat. But they say the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong people, and they want people to laugh, and people go, why'd you do that, you know? And so you've got to be in touch with you. You've got to be in touch with your strengths, and you need to be in touch with your weaknesses.
Yes.
And you need to be aware where your gifting is and where your gifting is not.
Yes.
And you'll get that by reading the Word. When you read Proverbs every day, and then you read through the Bible in a year, and you go through the Scriptures, there'll be things that'll pop off the page at you, about what you don't do, what you do, what you should do, what you don't want to do, what you resist doing. And that's why in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, the words come to encourage, in the sense of, I've come to train you, but I've also come with the Word of God to rebuke you.
Yeah.
And I've also come with the Word of God, when you read it, it should correct you, and it should instruct you in righteousness, so that so the man of God or the woman of God should be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And if you have the mindset, when you read the Word, that God's trying to change you. It's not time to just fill your head, but He wants to change you to be more Christ-like. And He wants to change your ego. He gave you an ego for a purpose. It's your job to sanctify it.
Right.
So you do the things under the Lord versus just about you. You don't want to kill your ego. He wants to clean it up.
Yeah.
Your ego is going to get you where you want to go. Don't crucify your ego. Sanctify it. My ego is huge for me. He said, take all that love the Lord thy God with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, all the strength, male strength. I got some male strength. Good. Sanctify it. Make it work for me, not for you.
Wow. That's good. Yeah.
So when I do Ironmans and when I row the ocean, I do this stuff, I got male strength. But the Lord says it's not for you. It gives you a platform to give glory to me.
Yeah, exactly.
People go, you're hot. You done all this stuff. Well, okay. Now I got the platform to say, you know, it's really not about that. So Jesus has been kind to me and cleaned me up at 20. And I got out of jail and I stopped doing drugs. And He said, I have a plan for your life. And I want you to take that stuff that you do and glorify me with it. Versus you taking all the glory. And when I work with special ops military, they say, what's the hardest thing you've ever done? And I say, what's the moment? What should I say? What to this group, you know? I try to figure it out. And then I say, well, honestly, jumping out of 100 planes is not that big of a deal. And running 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents, not a big deal. Because I'm setting them up.
Right.
Well, what is the big deal? The hardest thing I've ever done in my life is make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life.
Wow.
And they look at me like, huh? And I go, you wouldn't get it because you couldn't do it. Because I go after the guy's ego and I poke it. And I go, don't even try it, dude. There's too much of you and you don't want to die. And if you come to Jesus, you're going to die, and you don't want to die. So go do your deal. But when you want to get right, you have to die. So then you make him Lord of your life. And so don't even come to church and don't even ask Jesus in your life because you'll screw you up. Because you've got to talk men talk to men. I'm not talking to ladies, honey, sweet lady. I'm talking to hardcore guys who don't think that Jesus is an option and church is not an option. You go to church, you're just weak. Okay, I got it. Try making Jesus Lord of your life. I got their attention. Right? So, I don't know if that... There's something about reading the time and knowing this thing and understanding that Jesus loves all these people, but you've got to learn how to love them enough to really love them. Because He loved us. And if I'm not careful, I'll study the Scriptures and think I'm going to find life, but I know you don't have the love of God in your heart, Robert. And that school thing and people and stuff feels like, you know, my skin's real sensitive. I feel real sensitive because I say, Lord, I want you want me to love through me more.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable loving here, but I don't know if I want to do this. Well, then why don't you go do that? That's hard. He wants to make you a lover.
Yes.
Not romantic lover. He wants to make you one who loves the unlovely. The unlovely. And we want to love the lovely.
So this is, I think, an important part that we have to get to before we close. And that is asking God to break our hearts for what breaks His heart. We're asking God, make me sensitive to the things that are important to you. I don't want to just put a priority on the things that are a priority to me. I want to understand your heart. So God, break my heart for what breaks your heart. How do we get there? How do we get to that place of God breaking our heart for what breaks His heart?
A, you have to say, I have a need. And B, you have to have humility, which men don't have a lot of. Unless Jesus has worked on us for a lot of years. I don't know if you guys want this. I mean, you're nice people and you go to church. And you love Jesus. But God wants to wreck you. He wants to wreck you. He wants to come and break your heart over the things that He saw on the cross. Here comes the music. He wants to say, you really want to know my heart? You may not be the same if you let me in. Because you want to do this in life, and I may want you to do this in life. This is good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Nothing wrong with it. But do you want me to give you the part of my heart that will make you undone? And that's why I always took people on mission trips with me. What are you doing, Pastor? Come and see. Because I could get more done on a mission trip. And you can have missions here in the city with schools and stuff. I could get more done in a mission trip than I could for 10 years of sermons. Because when they saw what they saw, they were just, it wasn't in the head, it was in the heart. Oh my God. And I'd say, what are you going to do? What do you think? And they'd say, why isn't somebody doing something about this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, good, you're the one. I'm home busy. Got it. Jesus called busy disciples. I don't have time. Got it. Nobody has time. That's why He's calling you. And He'll begin to say to you, I want to love through you. Through your gifting, your age, your ethnicity, your culture, your background. I want to love through you if you'd let me. And you say, how much time is it going to cost me? Or how much money is it going to cost me? And he'll say, yeah, you don't got it. You don't got it. Because if you love the way I love, you won't think about the money or the time. You'll think about the situation. And that's why he went on the cross and said, they don't get it. Nail me in. I'm not really into this. Not my will, but thy will be done. I mean, I wouldn't do this, but Lord, if you want me to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
If it needs to be done, I'll do it. Not my will. I don't want to do this. But if you want me to do it, I'm going to do it. Get on the cross, nail him in. Because I want to walk in a love that's self-sacrificial and is so caring it cost me my life. And not many of us have signed up for that. But that comes with progressive revelation. Being around Him and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and He just peels off the layers and layers and layers of insensitivity.
Yeah.
And He says, may I love some more through you? But you may not be able to play golf because you'll have to be down there with the kids. I like golf. Well, then don't love the kids. And so, you've got to say, I'm available. I'm willing. I'm willing to have my life rocked. What about my 401k? What about my pension? I'm willing to let you rock my life. And we didn't come to church to have our life rocked. We come to church to just be nice people and love Jesus and go about our lives and hope He'll bless us if we tithe. Right? Hello? Let me pay my bills. And I get it. But He said, you diligently study the Scriptures that you think that by them is life. The Scriptures is not where you find life. The Scriptures, you find religion. You find life when the love of God illuminates the Scriptures. And if you come in with a bad attitude that day and you walk out, you probably didn't get anything because love didn't magnify anything. You just sort of went to church.
Yeah.
I'm 52 years in going to church. I'm 52 years. I'm senior pastor. I'm preaching to myself while I'm looking at the people because I have to wear it. I have to own it. I'm messed up too. I don't love the way He wants me to love. I don't want to sacrifice the way I was going to sacrifice. I'm in the game like everybody else. I didn't want to be a pastor. You're going to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. Shoot me. You're going to be a pastor. If you haven't learned to die, you're missing it because Jesus died for us. And He wants me to die. And He wants you to die and say, Lord, what do you want from me? Not my will, but your will, Lord. What do you want from me in my life? Even though I like doing what I'm doing, is it okay? I have to ask, is it okay? Or am I just doing it because I like it? Will you bless it? Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I walk with you? How do I love like you? How do I not be religious? Phony.
I want us to lean into that. I want us to pray that prayer today. Only pray it, though, if you mean it. God, break my heart for what breaks your heart. Would you? Would you lead us in that prayer, Pastor Rob?
Yeah, first let me preface it by saying, I don't know if you want that. I mean, none of my business what you want. Or his business. Or her business. Pastor's wife. Only you know your heart. Only I know my heart. And some of you, you know, I don't know that you want to say, break my heart. Because it's costly. But we should, if we're Christians, want to say, Lord, over and over in our lives, break my heart with the things that break your heart. The things that you saw on the cross when you died, all the people didn't get it, but you saw it. You looked and you said, I love you and you hate me. You love me and you're killing me. It doesn't matter. My love is bigger than your not understanding. So, evangelism is, Lord, break my heart with the things that break your heart, and I'll do things unusually that I would never do because my love makes me do those things and be uncomfortable because you want me to be uncomfortable and do what you would do versus what I feel comfortable doing. And you have to say, not just on a Sunday morning like this, but the rest of your life every day, Lord, I want to be converted further. I want to grow further. I want to go deeper. I want to think like you. I want to dream like you. I want to see like you. And I want you to say, James 2:23, you said he was a friend of God. And a lot of people are religious. They're not friends of God. God can't say, hear, and you hear it, and you do it. Right? He wants to speak to us all day, talk to us. It's hard. He wants to love through us every day. Homeless or some cocky person in a Ferrari, whatever it is. Love is where I flow when I can, when I'm good. I want to be a lover. How many, you get that?
Yes.
Is that too heavy? Too whatever? So he wants me to pray. I want to pray for you if you want me to do that. But you got to say, Lord, I want that stuff. Just bow your heads real quick. Holy Spirit, we love you the best way we know how.
Yes.
We're trying our best to be followers and to be Christ-like and to be not religious and be real. But we need your help. We need your help. Pastor Robert, I want you to come up here and stand with me up here. We need your help to think your thoughts. We need your help to get out of our own way.
Yes.
We need help to love people the way you love people and see people the way you see people. We see clothes and cars and makeup and guys in suits. We see people, but we don't see their hearts. That everybody's hurting and everybody has problems and everybody has stress and everybody's been hurt. And everybody has issues. And the people who say they don't have issues are the ones that have the most issues. And usually the ones that act the most together are the ones that are least together. I want you just while you're sitting there to open your hands like this, like you're going to receive from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to say this, Jesus, I need your help. I can't change me, but you can. And I can't love the way you love unless you help me and convert me from my selfishness, my self-centeredness, to seeing things the way you see things. I give you permission today to come into my heart afresh. The move that we sang about. Move on me today with your love. and your power. Come now, Holy Spirit. And touch me. Pour your love on me now, afresh. Begin to break my heart with the things that break your heart. Holy Spirit, come now. And I'm going to talk, and you guys just listen. Holy Spirit, come now. And I want you to, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, I want you to come like hot oil from heaven and pour it on them. Baptize them afresh in your love. Jesus. Receive the love of God. A fresh portion of the love of God. The power of God. And the kindness of God. And the mercy of God. And the broken heart of God.
Yes.
These breaks for what is going on around us. He just says, my people, my people, my people. I long for my people to be healed and whole and know me. More love, Lord. As your hands are open, just receive that love. I receive a fresh portion of grace and mercy and peace. I won't be judgmental anymore the way I've been. I won't be petty. I won't be quick to judge. I'll remember that every single person was a little baby in someone's arms before life came up and hit them. Every homeless person was rocked in someone's arms. Every person in prison was rocked in someone's arms. And then life came. And Lord, break our hearts with that thought. More love, Lord. More of your power. Come, Lord. Fill us. Break our hearts with the things that break your heart. Show us pictures. Wake us up in the night with dreams. Wake us up in the night with people, faces, and countries, hospitals, schools, jails, abandonment, abused. Wake up us and talk to us about your heart. We give you permission to increase the love that we carry. Holy Spirit, come now more on your people. Come on them. Settle on them. Melt them. Mold them. Move them. Change them. Help them. Love them. More love, Lord. More love, Lord. More love. Now just open your mouths quietly. just for you, not the next door person sitting next to you, and just begin to thank the Lord, and just begin to worship the Lord, and just begin to praise Him. Open your mouths and begin to praise the Lord quietly. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for your correction. Thank you for your plans. Thank you that you've not let me just drift. You're calling me back. You forgive me. And forgive me and forgive me. Thank you, Lord. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Now, some of you in your body want to express what's going on, and some of you want to stand and go like this. And some of you want to sit and just put your head down, and some of you want to get on your knees. Take a moment and get in the position that expresses what the Lord's doing in your heart. Move, go. Do what's happening inside you. Acknowledge it. More love, Lord. More power, Lord. More of your mercy, kindness. Touch us again and again and again. Heal us. Heal us today. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you're good and you're kind. And you're reaching out to us today. And we don't want to miss the moment, as Pastor Josh said, the moment that comes to us. We don't want to miss the moment. And this is one of those moments where you're just having a moment with us to say, let me talk to you again. Let me love on you again. Let me call you again. Let me affirm you again. I have plans for you to prosper you, give you health. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We pray that we go out to restaurants, that we leave this place or wherever we go, that we'd see people afresh. And we would hear you say to us, this is your mission field, or this is a different place you're going, I'm going to take you to. But Lord, use us now. Use us. And cause us to think differently and sense differently as we leave church this morning. Convert us again. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand up.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.